Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Hi, gang. Now, if you'll all be quiet, we'll start the show.
TMOS Classic Friday Flashback.
We are thrilled again to be joined by Patton Oswalt, who is here in town with his family. And, you know, we're grabbing him before he gets out to L.A., and we could not be happier. When do you head back home, Patton? When are you getting out of the city?
Well, Mike, I'm glad you buttonholed me before I caught the last flight to the coast. But, you know,
thanks so much. Appreciate it.
A lot of stuff's happening back there. We're talking to Merv later on today. But a lot of stuff going on. I mean, where do I start? Where do I begin? You know what I'm talking about?
Everybody!
All right. Hey, Oscar, you have any more of those diet pills? Those were great. I love those diet pills. Those were pretty fantastic.
Oh, diet pills, God.
I like them.
Eat them like pills. I don't know why this comes to mind, but when I was reading recently about Gary Shandling and. Oh. I was reading all the things said about Gary Shandling, and, you know, they say how rare it is, and I've always thought that, you know, I never got a chance to meet him. Maybe one time back in the day, we were on stage doing the DJ MC for a live show he did, but it was a handshake, and that was it. Yeah. But hearing how nice a guy he was and how wonderful he was and just how he treated everybody, there is, and I just want to give you a compliment because, you know, everything you've ever done, when you come into the studio, when you're nice to us and you're polite to us. And that is something that I think that I got that from hearing about Shandling where he reached out. It was very sweet that you did that. I thought of you when I heard because I said, that is rare. And I've interviewed tons of people in the business of comedy throughout my career. And it's not, I'm not in the comedy clubs, you see the way these guys there is a lot that goes on in there where people just the very nature of the business itself of stand-up comedy, it's kind of a prickly environment. And I never knew that about Gary Shandling, that apparently behind the scenes he was an incredibly nice person. Did you have any personal contact with him?
He moderated he did a Q&A with me one night for a young adult. He graciously said, oh, I'll totally moderate that. He really liked the movie and wanted to help it out. We had done a lot of shows together and I would see him. I mean, I saw him a month before he died. I did a show at the Largo, a benefit show that he just showed up at to hang out at. He didn't even do a set. So it was like me and Judd Apatow and backstage, like Norman Lloyd and Norman Lear came backstage and Chris Rock and Sarah Silverman. And there was Gary Shandling. And Gary Shandling, he was a really, really nice guy. And what was so miraculous about that for me is he was really, really smart about comedy. Like he was just one of those guys that always knew the best angle. And a lot of times people like that tend to be very prickly and mean only because their whole life are people telling them how to do comedy that shouldn't be. Like comedy is one of the few professions where people have no problem just walking up, you know what I think would be funny? Like they'll walk up to someone that, like I wouldn't walk up to an expert bricklayer building a wall going, you know how I would put the, I would just assume this guy has 10 years experience. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just going to watch him. But for some reason, comedy, everyone thinks they, and he was never mean to people about that, you know? By the way, he was
wonderful.
Not only was he smarter than any layman, he was smarter than most comedians. So there was very few people that could kind of, and not that he was a competitive about it, but it was just hard to hold your own with him because he was always so ridiculously smart.
That's what was miraculous
about him.
I get the impression that he was also very generous because when you look at the Gary Shandling, the Larry Sanders show, he's probably the third best character on it.
Well,
but he made the other characters better than him, laugh-wise.
He, Seinfeld, Julia Louis-Dreyfus and the Pythons were all about every single person in this. They would fight to get every single person a funny line so that the whole thing was at this higher pitch. And you can tell there are certain comedians and sitcom actors, and I've just heard stories where they're like, no, I got to have that line. No, that line's got, like, they've got to be the only one with a funny line.
Uh-huh.
And if you watch Veep, and if you watch old Seinfeld, and yeah, especially Larry Sanders, they're like, no, crank everyone around me up, and then I'll think of a funnier thing to say. Or here's the other thing that he would realize. If you watch half of Larry Sanders, is him just reacting in silence to people.
Yeah.
Because what they're saying is so nuts. And he's like, I don't know what to do. And that is so, that always gets a big laugh. Like, the Pythons would always fight to be the straight man in a sketch because the person reacting always got the bigger laugh.
Oh, they were the beginning of the laughter. I love that.
And same with, like, when I did some episodes of Veep, and I saw this firsthand after we would do table reads and then we would rehearse and mess around days before we would shoot it. And Julia would get with the writers and go, his line's got to be funnier. That's got to be, like, she wanted everyone cranked up. So that in other words, there's no parts of the show that are like, oh, these two characters, I don't care. You know,
right.
She wants every bit of it cranked up.
And they talk about, I just remember on the old Don and Mike show where that Larry Sanders show was such a big part of what we would talk about on the show. It would be every week we would come in and we would be discussing that. I had a restaurant in Manhasset, Don called it the Look Around Cafe. And I remember that. You know, I mean, we were talking about that the other day, and it was groundbreaking. I didn't realize it was groundbreaking until he passed, and then I thought, oh, my God, that's right. That's what The Office was doing. Yeah. Well, the same exact thing.
It must have been very surreal for you guys, especially, because I've said this before, you guys had one of the first shows, you guys, and then also Glenn Brenner, where you were very open about showing us behind the scenes, or like sometimes this job sucks. We're having a terrible day. Nothing's happening. You know,
sure.
Glenn Brenner would get on and go, there was a hockey game. I hate hockey. Here's some highlights. I don't care. This is stupid. You know, like sometimes my job sucks. So
right.
It must have been really, really stunning and also gratifying for you to see a show about showbiz where they're showing you that a lot of times it's just petty and childish and just the lamest crap. And you're like, oh, my God, I thought we were the only guys that did that. Like that. You know, so in other words, that's like, no matter
that's
how
why we tracked with it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I remember I was still doing open mics and barely emceeing, and I was seeing petty, childish. But in my mind, I'm like, when I get my own show, like, I'll be above all that. And then you watch Larry Sanders go, oh, no, it doesn't end. It stays that. Everyone is that damaged. Everyone is that awful. But you can still. But then on top of all that, he would show that there were some real human relationships there where they would kind of like that thing where they were forcing him to do the advertising on the show.
The garden
and he didn't want to do it. And then Hank weirdly saves him.
Yeah.
Because Hank is like, I'm good at something awful. Like, I actually can make this work. And then it was so human and real.
I don't want to look at your car again.
Yeah.
I remember that. He was so exasperated during that whole show.
The other thing that was really stunning about that show is they would do the stuff in between the on-air segments when Robin Williams is sitting there being funny and goofy, and they cut to commercial, and it's like,
oh, yeah.
Do you think that? I think people are getting sick of this.
Right.
You see those moments.
Behind
and then,
the curtain.
Right. And then you see Larry just like, I don't, I'm supposed to care, but I kind of don't. Like it was just, half of this business is just killing time. It made me laugh so hard.
I don't know that. How awkward is it when you are going to commercial? I've never asked anybody about that. When you're on a talk show set, I'm sure it varies with different hosts, but I would imagine it's never 100% comfortable, is it? I have no experience.
It does depend on the host. When I did David Letterman, I only did it once, but I did my stand-up set, and he came out and shook my hand, and as I said thank you, he was already turning away, like he was,
mechanical then, almost.
But then, known
for that too, right?
Yeah, no,
I mean,
exactly.
He was known for that.
Well, I mean, it wasn't that he was a mean guy. He just made very few friends. So you could tell the people that he was genuinely friends with, like when a Bruce Willis came on or a Regis. He's like, oh, this guy. They actually hang out. You can tell.
Right.
You know, this is a continuation. Like when I do Conan and I actually hang out. So we are actually, in fact, we're actually talking about stuff as we're leading into commercial that we'd way rather be talking about on air, but we can't, like, because we're bitching about something or, you know.
And one of the best eulogies for, if you want to call it that, for Gary Shandling that I heard was one of the most beautiful talks I think I've ever heard anybody give about the passing of someone was what Conan said about Gary Shandling and how he helped him through that. That was just so incredibly heartfelt. I mean, it doesn't lie when you're looking at that.
Yeah, and Gary Shandling did for a lot of stand-ups, and it's hard for us to put it into words. He showed us what could be done, not just with the form of stand-up, but with the that awkward transition of how do I do a develop a stand-up act and then turn it into a TV show, mm-hmm. but still keep the innovation and the fun of it? Because a lot of times there was that fear of I'm gonna work really hard and then get a sitcom and then they're gonna cut everything unique off of me. Mm-hmm. And, right. and Gary was like, I'm offering you guys strategies to get around that and do something really cool. You know, wonderful. Like with It's Gary Shandling show was constantly
mm-hmm. Oh, the wink at the audience.
Oh,
constant.
Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, and then with Larry Sanders, so like it was this, you can always keep your identity while you do this.
Wow.
And I'll show you how to do it. It was just, and I think that's what Conan was also talking about, was he's doing this, he wasn't a name at that time when he took over his show, and then he's how do I keep, because Conan has a ridiculously unique perspective on comedy, and that could easily get bulldozered, and he found a way with help from friends like Gary Shandling to keep that intact.
Well, it's nice to hear what we hear about that, and what a great perspective that is. Last before we go to break, I wanted mm-hmm. to, you know, you do with movies and where you're with a group of people and the work is incredibly intense for a very short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Is that different than on a series? I will tell you how radio works, and I think a lot of show business works when we're talking about relationships, that it's very difficult to kind of look backwards. You really, yeah. by the very nature of the business, you are in a forward situation all the time, and it's tough to really maintain relationships. Does that, in movies, I would think it would be a little different, or short-term projects, like a comedy tour. I would imagine
right.
it would be easier to keep those relationships alive. Like, you know, I would, you know, I don't know. I mean, do you move on and just move on? Or do you have relationships that last a long time? I think of Zach Galifianakis, who toured with you,
yeah.
You know, before he exploded. And, you know, do you maintain relationships, or is it hard to do that even if you're with somebody for a short period of time?
You know what's really weird? It wasn't hard to maintain relationships even when people like Zach exploded and Sarah and people like that, because we still meet as comedians all the time. And also, no matter how big you explode, you always want people around you, at least if you're down to earth, you want people around you that can call you on your BS.
Mm, right.
That it keeps you from spiraling off into insanity if you just have people around you that are trying to impress you and are terrified of you.
Right.
What makes
right.
it hard to...
Yeah, Mike.
Yeah,
thanks, Rob. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, you, trust me, you guys are always going to pull each other down into the porta potty. There's no...
Yeah.
TMOS Classic.
When I came back, they said that they were having a discussion on something they wanted to follow up on,
mm-hmm. yes.
which was about sex dolls. So I put it on my show prep for a solid week, a sex doll follow-up.
Ooh.
And this is about a television show that uses soap operas that use sex dolls. Is that
well,
what it
that
is?
That was the start. But also, Mike, do you remember if I say to you the phrase private island beauties, do you remember that? Does that ring a bell?
Yeah. Because
what if I throw in this clue?
That's the guy that brought the sex dolls into the studio.
Right, and it broke Oscar's back.
Remember? They were so realistic that...
Right. You got a back injury.
Yeah. Putting the doll on Rob's lap.
That's right, mm-hmm. because this was before I had cured myself of being scared of wax figures, so it was like doubly creepy and upsetting. And so we had this whole thing in the studio with this guy that brought in these ultra-realistic sex dolls. But the reason we were talking about it is
they were fun.
The first soap opera to come back.
Fun as in surprisingly realistic.
Yeah.
In a gross way.
Nah, yeah. There's a craftsmanship to it. There is.
The basketball playoffs are here, and the action is heating up on Prize Picks, the best place to cash in on your favorite sports. With millions of members, Prize Picks has made fantasy sports accessible to all. Run your game all season long on Prize Picks. We all love it, and Carrie Spiewak has become a Prize Picks machine big winner. So, cash in on the basketball playoffs with Prize Picks. Don't miss your last chance to add your favorite players from the court to your Prize Picks lineup. Whether it's points, rebounds, assists, take your pick of more or less for your shot to win up to 2,000 times your cash today. Turn your playoff hot takes into tickets to basketball's championship series, starting with the play-in round. Every lineup you make on Prize Picks will enter you in the Takes Two Ticket Sweepstakes, which could get you and a plus one a VIP trip to the ship. Prize Picks is the best place to win cash while watching sports. So join millions of users and sign up today. Download the app today and use code TMOS to get $50 instantly after after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code TMOS to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. Run your game.
You're just like, yeah, this is... If I was a lonely man and I had means...
Old style craftsmanship.
The thing that I remember most about it is the way the skin felt. It was really, really weird. Because it did have like a little bit of action against like the skin. Anyway.
We have a robot story or an AI story in News You May Not Need today, which should be kind of interesting about that. You know, that looks similar. Stay up late. Yes.
So the first soap opera to come back on an intermittent basis. And, you know, soap operas, as you know, they have a real fast turnaround. So they have to like tape the day before they air. Is CBS's The Bold and the Beautiful. And they were trying to figure out the best way they could do intimate scenes in these days of COVID-19. And what they did is they pulled out what was a sex doll or a realistic love doll that they had used in a previous season as a corpse. And they outfitted it to look like one of the female cast members, and they shot an intimate scene.
Little lingerie.
With the guy, so it looked like they were in bed together. And it was, as I believe the phrase was from the executive and the voice I used was,
surprisingly realistic. Very effective.
I would imagine if you shot it the right way, you could make anything look realistic, and you certainly aren't going to bring CGI into a soap opera.
Too expensive.
Although, you know what? I could be wrong about that.
I think the reason why soap operas still are viable is because of the cost of produce is so cheap.
I have found myself watching old movies and wanting the days of CGI to go away. I liked it when they used real scenes where they really have to put the effort forward to not paint a movie. I think CGI, it can be absolutely brilliant, but also would go down with film historians as one of the great cop-outs. Did you burp?
I did.
Did you just burp?
I did. I didn't think it would be picked up.
Well, your mouth just went, it's almost like your lips moved. You went,
something settled.
Somebody
I
isolate
like
that.
Did you mute yourself when you did that?
No, because I thought it would be silent, and I think it was silent. Yeah.
I just saw it. You know when you see cartoons with their lips that go, it was almost like that. But I think CGI, by and large, is kind of a cop out when it's used to create like the entire town.
I think you know that what CGI I mean? I is like that. like overly spiced food. If a food is like so hot you can't even eat it.
Yeah, but
like,
we still love the food.
Yeah,
we'll
but you know what?
It.
It's better if it's used sparingly. That's when it's best.
Okay, but I think it depends on the subject matter. Like it really
Titanic would be an example of, I think, a pretty large scale use of CGI that kind of had to be done.
Right.
That's the way I would
can't build a boat and sink it. Right.
But I also think that I miss that. For example, Patton. With the fighter jets flying overhead.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Sure.
Those are real fighter jets they use. That was kind of cool. You look at an old war movie, they did it that way, and it was kind of... Now, you can also look at them, and they look absolutely jive, but it's...
Air Force One?
You know, yeah.
that's a terrible use of CGI.
How dare you, Mr. President?
But anyway, I think
get off my plane.
You couldn't use CGI in a soap opera because of expense and also because of the speed they have to turn the product around. So they use this
surprisingly effective
love doll on The Bold and the Beautiful, and they said it's okay, but the problem is they only had the one doll in the prop closet that they used as a corpse. So the thought is buy more or share. And I think sharing is almost just as bad in this age of coronavirus. So Oscar
you could probably sanitize them. Right?
Yeah, I suppose, but still,
I
wouldn't
think
it be more effective?
They're meant to be sanitized.
They're made to be cleaned, if you know what I mean, ew.
I mean... A power washer. Or
so Oscar and I mentioned that this could be a boon for the sex doll industry, especially as all the soap operas come back. And I couldn't remember the name of the guy from Private Island Beauties, but I didn't need to because about 45 minutes after the show, Patrick sent me an email.
Oh, I love
it. And so this is what's going on with Patrick, the gentleman who brought in the sex dolls, including the one that harmed Oscar's back, which was as I recall... A smaller model meant for travel.
I want to be clear. It's not her fault. I'm in bad shape. Any man who probably has any type of muscle tone on his body could pick up this doll no problem. I just didn't at
you
the time.
Injured the door. You injured yourself by picking the doll up.
Well, the weight is as realistic as the skin. Let me just give you that.
Mm-hmm. This was a smaller model because I remember it came into the studio in a bag.
I think the term that was used is spinner.
I wasn't going to say it, but you're right. That's exactly
it. Didn't have legs, right?
No, it
had legs. I'll send you a picture. I think I still have it on my phone.
All right.
Oh, very good. Nice. Okay. I think I still
so
have it
Patrick on say. My phone.
And so the email reads, "Hey, Rob, I am a winner," because we were saying there's, you know, in the virus, there's winners and losers. And so he's a winner. So fun to hear our doll business mentioned on today's show. I must say, the crazy virus is actually helping my doll biz. I'm turning away orders.
There's a demand.
Yeah. Is it for private use, or is he turning away
on.
People that might want to use? Okay, good.
He
good.
Goes Let's on. Now, also, a little personal update here. Remember, he had a lovely female partner that he brought in with him. Since we saw you last, my business partner, you remember Sarah, and I split up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, that's okay with me. I remember that. I actually remember. She didn't bring a lot to the table, did she?
No, she didn't.
I don't know that.
And also the other
sorry.
Part, there was two things. There was sort of an awkwardness between the two of them, and also remember the story of him selling all of his plans to a Japanese manufacturer who stole them. So he was at a low. It was sort of
the molds.
Wasn't she a little prickly?
I believe so, yeah.
Right?
Anyway, he says nothing was happening in the doll world and we were getting on each other's nerves, so I figured we finalize our orders and call it a day.
Mm.
So,
But he kept the business.
Well, he shut down the business. He says, I actually got a part-time job at a local ABC store to get me through. The booze business is thriving these days because everyone's staying at home.
The booze business is thriving every day.
That's true.
No matter what, it's the bar business that sucks.
So he says
the booze business is fine. People still want booze. You know,
the booze business is thriving. So he had job security there. That was a given. But when the virus struck, orders came in from everywhere. 3 exclamation points. I just shipped a piece to Australia.
Is it for individuals primarily that he's selling these things?
He says, he goes on to say, can't make them fast enough. I was trying to quietly walk away from the dolls, but I think I'll ride this wave a bit. So, yeah, there's a lot of personal use. Now, but this is also exciting.
But he's not selling them to soap operas.
Well, he says, we had a doll of ours featured on a show on the CW.
There it is. So he is selling them to that.
There you go.
The show is called Supernatural. I've heard of it. I've never watched it. Yeah. And we made a bunch of dolls for a Piranha movie.
Yes! Oh, my God. I wonder if it's the Piranha movie I watched a little of.
Which one?
I think it had Jerry O'Connell in it.
Yeah.
He doesn't say no to anything.
Isn't Jerry
That's
O'Connell in
the most recent Piranha movie.
Right?
Yeah,
Jerry
yeah,
O'Connell
yeah, yeah.
and Babes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyways, not a lot of substance.
No, not a great story.
Did
you see anything that looked like plastic women in this Jerry O'Connell movie?
Well, I think it could be. You certainly could use that. Ask him what Piranha movie.
I'd love to know that. So he says, maybe CBS is next! !! So maybe the Bold and the Beautiful will get in touch with him. We can hope so. As always, love you guys and love the show. The Friday night cocktail shows are fun to drink along with. Cheers and happy belated Father's Day to you and Mike and Oscar. Get busy. Keep up the funny. Patrick, Private Island Beauties.
Aww.
So speaking of that,
we're so happy for him.
TMOS Classic.
And we're taking a collective summer vacation.
Yes.
Together.
I'm not. Is anybody going anywhere? Are you going anywhere for?
I was considering going down to visit my dad on the Eastern Shore until yesterday happened that it was one of the biggest spikes in the virus.
Yeah, Virginia went out of their minds.
Oh,
right?
I don't know any about that. Yeah. Maybe I've been living in
all over the country. Not so much Virginia as the other hot spots. I know that Texas.
Yeah,
I think
Virginia was. I thought Virginia, Maryland, D.C. I thought they were having down days.
We were steady. I think we were steady. Okay. But still, as these spikes happen,
where did the spike happen in regards to your father?
Well, nothing with my father specifically. But, you know, if it's starting to spike around the country, why risk it? It's stupid to risk it.
So
it's
you're not planning on traveling down to...
I'm at a coin flip right now. I might go down for a couple days. We'll see. It's hard to say. I mean, I put it in the same category as when I watch TV and I see these people and I think... My God, how important is it for you to go to a restaurant Why do you really, really need to do this? Why do you need to go out and do this and put yourself and others at risk? It's selfish. And if I were to do it just for a change of scenery, you know, I'd love to see my dad, but I can call him on the phone and talk to him and visit him that way and not put anybody at risk. I don't think it's a really wise
move. You going anywhere, Oscar? Are
Mike,
you
going anywhere? I'm going to a wonderful place called Podcast Village.
Are you going to be working all week?
Got to work.
Are you going to get any
I'll take a week in August and go see my brother in Hyannis.
If you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're able to do that.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. And plus,
I'm not going.
Uncommon that, it's not uncommon that in the summer we, like, in fairness, I look back at our schedule this past year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In 2019, we had already taken a week and a half or 2 weeks off individually by, let's say, July.
Right.
We haven't taken a single week off this year.
But it's
solid
a different
the whole
schedule.
Way through.
Yeah. And I think probably people have modified their schedules all over the country. I think that it works that way. It depends on your business and what you're
doing. But we felt, in fairness, outside of really not having excuse not to do the show, and we're blessed to have this technology in place and this infrastructure that, like, we felt like it was important to do the show, especially in the height of the pandemic.
That was part of it. I don't want to give ourselves too much credit.
I'll give ourselves credit. Like,
that's the way we looked at it. We really didn't speak about it a lot, but it's kind of the way we just did it. And suddenly we're like, hey, you know, I'm tired of you guys. I need a break.
I think the word was crispy.
Crispy is a word that has been bandied about.
So I think that maybe hitting the road. I was nervous about the idea of traveling, too. That's what I, you know, being there and going. But right now, I don't know. I'm gonna wait and see.
Yeah, and I hate to put you in a tough spot. I get it.
Like, I'm sure he's already thinking about it.
I don't know. I'm just, it's one of these, it's literally one of these questions where if you are blessed to have an option,
right,
and to go to a quote unquote safer place, mm-hmm, with less risk, which it's technically by the numbers would be Maine,
mm-hmm,
then what's 2 months and really
right,
the pain points that come with, it sucks to drive up there. It's just a pain.
I know that also on your mind has got to be,
what do you got to lose? Like,
you're right.
A factor also has to be, you know, school is coming up. It's less than 2 months away. If it happens, I'm curious, has the school reached out to you? Because I got a very detailed survey from Loudoun County. Robert has one more year in public school, right? He's starting his senior year. And it was, as a parent, what do you think would work? How do you feel about this? How do you feel about this?
Yeah,
what is your main concern? But
that's a CYA move on the part of these public schools.
Yeah. Well, also that says to me they don't have any idea what the plan is going to be when school starts.
Yeah,
because if they're still mining the opinion, so I don't know if Robert will be going back to school. It's really
he'll have school one way or another. It'll be at home.
Of course he will. Yeah, and I think it will be at home, but it's just an odd thing that we would be this close.
I don't know when you have a world record case load, how you contemplate opening schools up right around August 12th, which is where it would be. I don't see that happening now.
No.
I mean, we're coming up on 2 months away from this, and I just don't see it happening. But I would have also said by this time, you would have mandatory masks in the state, and nothing is being changed. Nothing is being changed
in
the state.
Well, Mike, let's see what Collier County does.
It's weird. It's weird. I mean, I literally opened this up today, as we started taping. I have not looked at it. Right. I've become desensitized.
Look, this is a real-time conversation.
It is.
Right. Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment.